All right, Potties, you're making a difference because of you and the people that listen to the show on Way FM terrestrially, if you want to call it that. We have sent over 47,000 meals to the people that are struggling in Ukraine after they've been displaced because of the war. That is pretty stinking amazing. And I love the fact that you're getting to partner with us in ministry right now in a very tangible way. You're not only helping feed people, but you're also making sure that they get the gospel as well. So thank you so much. But sadly, as the war stretches on, the need is still there and becoming greater. Here's the great news, though. It only takes 25 cents to send one meal. So for about the cost of a dinner out for you and your family, you could make sure that a couple hundred meals are sent to Ukrainian refugee families. Can you imagine what a relief that is for moms who have no idea how they're going to feed their kids from day to day? This is truly ministering to the orphans and widows, like the Bible says in James. And we'd love to keep that going and send another 25,000 meals to Ukraine in just the next couple weeks. I'm in. I'll never ask you to do something I'm not willing to do myself. So if you want to help out, just text the word WALLY to 91999. And again, thank you so much for even considering this. And let's make a difference. Let's do something huge today. Again, text the word WALLY to 91999. Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All the stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today. It just hit me right now, like, you know, because you guys are like, I rant a lot about different things and stuff like that. But like, if it was more complaining and less ranting, we could call it the Waftercast. Waftercast.
Oh,
yeah, like the Wambulance.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
I see.
Pretty good stuff. All right, we're off to a great start. We're crushing it here. So, going to be a little bit of a short Aftercast, and maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's a God thing today.
Then again, we've said that before, and then it ends up
it has to be
minutes.
Today. It has to be today, because we got Colton Dixon coming in, and we got to run upstairs and do an interview with him, tape an interview with him. I'm really excited about this, because I like Colton, first of all, and I got a couple things that are fun to do. I never thought we'd get to play this one game again. Shipwreck or Poop Deck.
So good.
I know. We did that with For King and Country, and I cannot wait to play that, as well as a brand new game called If the Shoe Fits. So we'll have some new content from him later on in the week. This week we'll have Gavin cut the videos up, and probably Friday we'll have it on the show and on the Aftercast, and then you can, or the podcast, and then you can watch it as well. Boy, if you have had to have a prescription refilled recently, you know it can be jarring that how much it costs. I have some friends that their monthly drug bill is like $2,000 a month.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really nice house payment. Like a really like if you're paying $2,000 a month for a house, you have a probably almost $500,000 home.
Yeah.
So that's what they have to deal with. And I know for some people it's even worse than that, you know, but she has like some special conditions and stuff, and they don't have an option, you know. But maybe entrepreneur and Shark Tank star, Dallas Mavericks owner and billionaire can help. He launched an online pharmacy called Cost Plus Drugs. I've had this conversation with people before. You go to the Walgreens or whatever, and you're trying to get the best price on your drugs. People use GoodRx is another version of that, where you can shop and see. Sometimes it's actually better to do like GoodRx or maybe this Cost Plus Drugs instead of going through your insurance because of all of that mess. Most of the drugs I take, you know, the gout pills that I love so much.
Gout.
Yeah, gout.
Let it all out.
Yeah, I just pop those like they're Pez. so good. Those, they were like, it was weird. They were like $5, and then they went up to $8, and they dropped back down to $5. I'm like, okay. So, I mean, not bad. Like, great. I mean, it keeps my feet on. You know, so I'm pretty happy about that.
It's all that matters.
Worth the $5 every month or so, okay? And so that's not that bad. But other people, I mean, it can be really bad going through insurance and stuff too. So in January, they started this thing, and apparently, like, they are doing well, and they're claiming that they are offering the lowest prescription drug prices. And there was an independent report that claimed that Medicare could actually save $3.6 billion if it purchased drugs through Cuban's pharmacy.
Whoa.
So, like, even it's Medicare really good. Can save, you know, and because, I mean, healthcare is a disaster. Mm-hmm. I mean, but it's still better than a lot of the socialized medicine. I'm like, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to complain about America. I love America. But there are problems in it and that need to be addressed. And we really haven't solved the healthcare issue in years. I mean, we've never solved it, but we haven't even really addressed it. Great in years, but On Twitter, he said, Cuban said that the company doesn't spend a nickel on advertising, completely relying on word of mouth.
Wow.
And that allows us to offer such low prices. I have to believe it's more than that. Like,
no, I wouldn't.
Really?
Because you're standing in line at the pharmacy waiting to get your pills.
Yeah, right.
And you have nothing to do but talk to strangers around you. And if you say, hey, I did blah, 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 they'll be like, oh, I'll do that too.
But even if you spent $10 million on advertising, you know, you think that that would offset by more people using it and you'd have lower... Like he has to be getting other deals. The guy's a billionaire for a reason. Like, he's got to have found a way to source all of this stuff at lower prices.
Well, Shark Tank probably did something,
is he getting them from? Is he getting them from Mexico? Like, what's he doing? Is he running a black market? I'm real curious.
If it all works.
It can't just be advertising dollars that big pharmaceutical companies are spending all this money on advertising and that's why their stuff's so expensive. If it can't be that, you know, he says, we're just getting started, though. I do bet, you mentioned Shark Tank. I do bet a bit of this passion came because his daughter has severe allergies.
Mm.
And so he invested in a company on Shark Tank that addressed allergies and keeping kids safe.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's probably what started him down this path.
Yeah.
And I think that's cool, too, because like he's not hurting for money.
Uh-uh.
Like he can afford any medicine that he needs, you know. But the fact that he realizes other people can't and chooses to use what he's built for good to help other people. I really like that. I think that's really cool. I think there's a point at which, especially when you're wealthy and you have everything you don't want for anything, like you want a legacy. You want something for people to remember you by that matters and means more. I think a lot of rich people go through that, and that's why they have buildings donated that are named after them and things that they hope will have a legacy. Actors do this when they do a kids movie after they've been like an action film their whole lives, and then they do a kids movie because they want that to be a legacy that their kids and grandkids, you know, listen to and watch and things like that. But so good on Mr. Cuban there. Let me see, a little Roe v. Wade stuff. Yesterday there was a lady that was really upset with us for not talking about Roe v. Wade on the air. And it was a real tricky thing because you don't want to be doing a victory lap if you're pro-life and then just making people mad that are already mad and making it worse. And so we had opted on the radio to kind of stay out of it because no one would be happy on either side. And there are both sides inside of Christianity, believe it or not. And so it's funny because this lady emailed and she was upset that we didn't talk about it and quoted scripture and I'm lukewarm and spit you out of your mouth, blah, blah, blah. But I pointed out, I said, well, your email is exactly the reason we didn't talk about it, because I can't win. You know, I can't please everybody in this issue. And it's a really difficult thing to talk about. And that's why we have the aftercast. And Betty Rock had a great idea. She's like, hey, Wally, tap, tap, tap on my shoulder. Why don't you tell her about the aftercast and just tell her to plumb near hear it? And I was like, that is a great idea. So I sent her the link to the aftercast so that she could check that out and hear that we actually did address it in a format that was more conducive to being able to take an issue apart and look at it from a bunch of different sides, where you just can't do that in a minute and a half on the radio. But this was an interesting headline that got my attention, okay? So the headline sounds almost like a bad thing. It says, but if you're pro-life, you're like cheering the statistic. Here's the headline. More than 150,000 births could occur in the U.S. every year following the reversal of Roe v. Wade. And wow. It's written from this is a horrible thing that has happened perspective, the article, and right out of the gate. So it's funny because it's like, man, this is going to be horrible. We're going to have all these kids born. Like, you're like, do you hear yourself? You know, these are 150,000 kids that aren't going to be exterminated, yet you're like, this is the worst day ever. You're like, no.
Gosh, it's just so hard because I agree with you. I think where this person's probably coming from is thinking, It's a bad thing because these kids are going to be probably born into some really
and
bad
unwanted
situations.
And exactly.
Get that. And so I do get that. Also, though, shouldn't there be personal responsibility for
having unwanted kids?
Having kids that you weren't ready for, you know, and
playing with the pain.
I don't know what the
tough
solution
thing
is.
Well, here's the tough thing in all of this is the broad strokes, because everybody brings up the extreme examples, and when you try to paint this topic or this conversation with a broad stroke, it's really hard to do. And that's where you have to narrow in and zoom in on the individuals and where it is on you, especially as a pro-lifer. We talked about this yesterday. Your job begins now in loving people and helping support people that are going through this. Mm-hmm. You know, and the church needs to be doing this. Government needs to actually be doing this. If this is the way we're going, like, make sure that you can take care of these kids that are going to be born. And so, like, I do understand all of that inside of this. And I do have compassion. I really do, for people that are in this position where they're mad that this option is gone. I do get it, you know, but where someone looks at 150,000 births as a negative thing, I look at that as like, oh, well, that's pretty great, you know. Mm-hmm. But in saying, well, now you're going to have more children that have birth defects that are born that parents chose to terminate those pregnancies before, won't have that option to, and now you've got more birth defects. And there's a whole ripple effect from all mm-hmm. of this morally, ethically, that comes about. And it's going to take more time to work our way through this. But I think what was really weird was the statistic of 150,000 births that would now occur statistically was shocking. But really, the big statistic in this article I read, because I hadn't known this number before, in 2019, take a guess at how many abortions you think were performed in 1 year, 2019.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't even
want to. I'm going to guess 2,000?
2,000 abortions.
I'd go for 250,000.
Okay, you're closer. 808,000.
Yeah. That's heartbreaking.
So when you are a person that is pro-life, when you see those numbers, it's jarring.
It's just 1 year.
And you do feel like, I need to do something about this. You know, I need to be part of this. You know, this is a problem. You know, 800,000, almost a million children gone, you know. And so, like, I get that. Like, if it was like you had said, Betty, well, maybe 2,000, you would probably be less inclined to be as super motivated or passionate about it, you know, which we should be passionate about any of it. But that number just really, really, really shocked me. Mm-hmm. And of those, 60% of those came from the extremely liberal states, you know, because there's a lot of talk right now about the states that will be banning it completely and hard to access this abortions and things like that. And so you're already looking at over half of it is happening in the states that are still protecting those rights mm-hmm. statewide, because that's what happened. It all went to the states. And so there's still going to be access to it. And those states are already the ones where most of this is happening. But it was just sobering to me in the midst of all of the debate and everybody's position and everybody's feeling on it and right to choice, right to life, all of that. I just think that number is jarring mm-hmm. and huge. It's a number and sad.
It's like a number worth fighting for, I think, and like you pointed out.
Yeah, so that's kind of rough. On the different tip of kind of a fun thing here, a lot of company or cities are starting to not do 4th of July fireworks anymore because of burning.
Why is this fun?
Because it's opening the door to something better.
Okay.
Drones.
Because you saw something similar to this in
Dollywood.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. It was better than the fireworks, honestly, because you could do any kind of pictures and you're watching these things fly. Yeah. It's quiet. It's not freaking out your kids. My daughter had a love-hate relationship with fireworks. She loved seeing them, but she was terrified of the sound. She'd sit there with her hands on her ears and stuff. but the drones are great. So there's a city and the village of Tahoe City is going to do drones and not fireworks this year, and they are spending the money on it, and it's because of fires and not cost, surprisingly. This is the really shocking thing of this. It cost $110,000 for fireworks for them in 2019. They didn't have them the last 2 years because of COVID. This year they're going to come back with the drones, and the drones are more, $130,000. Like, what? How is that more? Like, there's less insurance, I would think, with the drones than
just electricity.
Yeah, and maybe because it's so new and the technology, very few people do it, so that drives the price up.
You probably need like a set amount of drone flyers. Although I assume if you had a certain amount, you could, yeah, you just automate it.
Hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. I saw a miniature drone show on a cruise ship, which was crazy. So they're doing an ice show, which is already a big deal, like ice on the water. You know, and not since Titanic if we attempted
and
that. Right.
And that went poorly.
Yeah, and so they figured it out. They did the ice in the ship, and it works out great. But then as part of the ice show, they have like four or five drones flying there and doing this like light thing, and you're like,
wow,
in a really small like venue on a ship, like that was kind of cool.
That's dope. Yeah.
But then you see hundreds of them in the air when you're doing these drone shows, and I thought it was really impressive. Like I would much rather go see that than a fireworks show. You know,
I don't know. The one really? Thing that I do like about fireworks is the smell.
Yes, there's
love
something
the
about
smell.
It. And I love the boom. I'm a big fan of the boom.
Once you get past the point of the fear that is the kaboom, it's honestly very pleasing.
Okay, favorite firework, go. Your favorite firework, which one?
I like the little white pop thing.
The popcorn! Pop! Yes, favorite firework, Gavin, go.
I like the one that goes and it goes pop, but then it's just like all sorts of over the places where you're like, oh, I didn't know that it was going to be that big.
I like the whistler. Wait for it. Boom! Like, I like that one. That's my favorite one. I loved fireworks as a kid, but I grew up in Florida, and you were not allowed to have good fireworks in Florida. I think that might have changed. You used to have to go to Georgia to get fireworks and smuggle them back in. You couldn't have firecrackers. You couldn't have M80s. You couldn't have anything that could blow a hand off.
What's Florida's problem? Because I know in some states I've lived in, it's too dry, they say.
Right. Florida's problem is IQ. Florida's problem, full
not
disclosure.
Enough, fire workers.
Like, no. And my friends and I were part of the problem. We're like, oh my gosh, watch this. You know, I remember shooting bottle rockets into my friend's car from his roof as he drove up one day with his windows down, and it burned his car. like
this is
dumb.
Definitely not a podcast for kids.
No,
to
I mean, it was dumb. It was dumb. It could have hurt
him. Don't do this.
Yeah, that's exactly. Bad. So do not do that. But that was the thing. You do dumb things with fireworks, and I think that's a big part of it. You get hurt. I had a little half, they call it a lady finger. It's like a half firecracker blow up in my hand once, and that was a little scary. It hurt. And the mom at the party put my hand in a thing of Crocs shed spread butter, which now I learned they say is the worst thing to do for a burn.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't know that at the time.
Lived through it.
That's weird.
Barely. Mm. I missed that. We had sparklers and worms. You know the worms?
What worms are.
It's a little black disc, and you light it, and then it just grows into like a worm. Mm. And then we had sparklers, and then we had the other ones that would spin in a circle and go.
I like those.
Those are kind of cool. And smoke bombs, we had those. But yeah, you like now. Living in Tennessee, man, we have whole places that are dedicated to fireworks. My buddy, Greg, never grew up, and so he will go and spend hundreds of dollars on fireworks. Like I'm like probably like $500+ on fireworks. Wow. And it is like a miniature fireworks show in the cul-de-sac. I mean, it's insanity what you can shoot from your own driveway now. As a kid, I would have lost my mind. Little Wally would have been like, "You've got to be kidding me!" But then it's weird. Like I like doing it, but then because he bought them all, I never want to light any of them off because that would be rude. Because it's his thing. But just once, I'd like to light one of the big ones. But
he wouldn't let you light one of the big ones.
I don't ask. No. It's there's an etiquette there. It's an unwritten rule. If you didn't pay for the fireworks or chip in, you don't get to light any of them. So you have to watch them. Like boom,
yay.
Yeah. He would let me, but I don't want to ask.
Would you like to move to birthdays? They're telling me that Colton is here and he's running early. So.
Well, that never happens. Artists being early. Well, let's do it. Birthday me.
All right. So we've got Caleb sent in his own birthday request. It was on the 27th. He said, I was hoping my sister would send me a shout out, but she probably didn't.
She's the worst.
So I'm sending one for myself. His question is, if your mothers were to cook a home cooked meal for your birthdays, what would it be? Mine would be fried chicken.
Your mom makes good fried chicken.
She does.
I've never had any. Your mom should
no.
make, yes, it should invite me over. You don't have to come. I'll just go hang out with Robin and
happen.
Danny Ray.
No.
You know what? I might make this happen.
Stop.
Yeah. I need to
What
be
would
there.
You want?
Lasagna, my mom's lasagna, and Cheerio cream cheese pie for dessert. That's like my favorite.
Okay. What was the first word there?
Lasagna.
No.
Oh, Cheerio cream cheese Cheerio. Pie. Okay. Yeah, it's so good.
Sounds delicious. My mom just makes a very delicious potatoes au gratin. And it's
I always hated that as a kid.
It's just her taking a package of, and I might be saying the wrong word, but she just takes a packet of hash browns in the frozen section and just cream, cheese, onions, just all this stuff. And for like Thanksgiving in those days, like I think I try to eat half that pot.
As a kid, that was a punishment for me. And now as an adult, I have seen the error of my kid ways and love that.
Well, I didn't eat something that was in potato form that wasn't a fry probably until college.
Mm. Oh, yeah. So. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it.
That is not. We still have a few more.
I thought you only had the one. No. It seemed like you were done with that one.
Okay, Maya to Joshua from his favorite Mimi. Nice. Happy birthday. Austin, my beautiful girlfriend, Autumn. Happy birthday. Abigail to her mother, Renee. And then Kinley to her brother, Caleb. Quick question. If we were stranded on an island with no food, which one of us would we eat first? I'd go with Gavin.
I hate that question.
You'd go with Gavin's butt?
No.
You don't want that.
Gavin.
It's had surgery.
Comma. But I would consider Wally because there'd be a lot of
it'd be sweet.
Sugar in there.
Be
and
sweet.
It might taste better.
I always had a rule, like when we went hiking with anybody, if we ended up in a survival situation like that, I'm like, you can eat me, it's okay, but you do have to start with my butt. Just so that in death I get the last laugh.
And on that note, thanks for being a potty.
That's our podcast.